Hey, it's Farm and Food Time, and with me to have that conversation, Kathy Burns.
Once again,
and we're looking at the benefits to cities and towns of allowing agriculture inside the city limits.
Yep, allowing it, and if you already have it, increasing it. Saw an article in ScienceDirect.com called Urban Agriculture, A Strategic Pathway to Building Resilience and Enduring Sustainable Food Security in Cities. Had some great segmented pieces of information. I thought we could give some examples of benefits to cities.
Yeah, and we certainly have our own list from our urban farming ventures here in Des Moines' oldest neighborhood, Sherman Hill. And but I know this research is good because it looks all over the world and comes up with a whole bunch of things. Some of them we never even thought of.
Right.
Yeah.
The first benefit to cities might come out of the blue to some people, the water management.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is, according to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, they estimate in 2012 that more than 40% of our global population, in 2012, they estimated that more than 40% of the population by the year 2050 will be located in water-stressed areas.
I would argue that it's probably happening more quickly.
Yes.
And already we're getting really close to that.
Yeah, that study is quite old, and I'm sure that we are, that would be upped a little bit. But considering that large-scale agriculture, you know, traditional farming.
Conventional.
You know, rural stuff.
Conventional farming.
Uses about 70% of global fresh water.
Wow.
We can look to urban agriculture because it is increasingly using targeted irrigation, circular systems. They collect and reuse water to grow crops, and saving water. An example of that is in an Indian city where the use of drip irrigation resulted in water savings of up to 60%.
Yeah,
that's just one example.
I see that. I'm Edabad, and I was there.
I wondered if you were familiar.
Yeah, I stayed with Mrs. Kulkarni there for a few days when I was studying Gandhi's activities in India, which is good timing for this week's program.
Sure.
Because this is the January 30th is the anniversary of Gandhi's assassination.
I didn't know that we were going to have this all in such a tiny little package.
Well, I know. But, I mean, we know, you know, we obviously use city water to irrigate our crops here.
Yes.
But we also have a rain barrel,
two rain barrels.
And the rain barrels provide quite a bit. I mean, I don't know how many thousands of gallons of water we get from our rain barrels a year. It's a lot. But then we also use mulch.
Yes.
Mulch is key in helping to preserve moisture content and reducing the amount of water you need to apply.
Mm-hmm. Well, waste management is another biggie, and we're very familiar with this example because the stats show that a backyard chicken is expected to consume about 1.6 pounds of food scraps per week. Yearly, that one chicken then we'll be taking care of 83 pounds of waste that would normally go into the city waste system.
Yeah, at a cost to taxpayers and also the landfill capacity.
And if you only have a flock of six birds, that's 500 pounds of waste kept out of the systems per year.
Yeah.
So multiply that by more and more backyard chickens, which we are always fans of. You've got a lot of waste reduction in your city.
Yeah. We take leaves from our yard, and we throw them in the chicken coop for bedding.
Yes.
That's one more thing that doesn't end up in the waste stream.
Does not, yeah. So much good. Emissions management. The urban trees, and if those are fruit trees, I think all the better. Ed, you might feel the same.
Oh, yeah.
they are known to absorb about 711,000 metric tons of air pollution per year, and I'm bad because I didn't catch where that was located. So, oops, insufficient notes on my part. But green roofs in urban areas also significantly reduce air pollutants. So we've got emissions management going on.
One thing too,
I
say, trees in urban neighborhoods also add value to properties.
They do.
Yeah,
they do.
If you're just thinking about money, There's an issue there as well.
Well, and if we would get, I don't think we're going to get to the economic benefits category, but that is, you know, the land value is one of the benefits of urban gardening too.
Yeah, another point in this study I see is that, you know, the reducing transportation costs of hauling food from elsewhere around the world.
Mm-hmm.
If you're growing it in your city, there's very, very little transportation cost.
That's right.
If you're growing it in your backyard, there's none.
I kind of like the social well-being category, because when we look at issues like housing and violence, people often say, well, we need more social and personal well-being. Urban ag can play a role in that, but it enhances social interactions.
Yeah, for example, we had a 7-year-old girl come by here the other day on her birthday, and we said, oh, you want to see our animals? And she came back, and she saw our two new baby rabbits, and she asked if she could name them.
Yes.
Well, she asked first what their names were. I said, none, but you get to name them. It's your birthday.
So. And then she helped us make butter.
She helped us make butter.
Yeah. We do not have our own milk cow, yeah. which is too bad, but she helped us make butter.
All kinds of good reasons why we got to be encouraging more urban agriculture. And Des Moines, ideally,
should be
the local food capital of the U.S.
Hooray.
We're already doing good stuff. Let's keep it going. Kathy, thank you for joining me